firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Fear not, I am with thee.
If you could set aside the busyness of life and then focus on just one thing, the one thing that mattered above all other things, what would it be? Welcome to Through the Bible. Today, we'll hear our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, answer that question, and then he'll share King David's response as well. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, inviting you to hop aboard the Bible bus as we set off for Psalms 27, a psalm that Dr. McGee says has a special message for our hearts and lives today. And while you find your seat and open your copy of God's Word, here's an email that we recently received from a listener named Jason. It's a bit longer than the letters that I usually read, but Jason's story is a terrific reminder of God's power to transform our lives, so listen to it. I'm a recovering drug addict and alcoholic. I used to be a twisted drug dealer and junkie. I've enclosed a photo of me at my worst. I've been clean for almost 2 years and living a life of recovery. I worked the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and ended up developing a relationship with Jesus Christ as a result. I found a couple really amazing churches where the Spirit is strong and flooded into my life. I also joined a small Bible study group within my community. I've been going for about 5 or 6 months now. It's amazing. A man in my group told me about your program, and I immediately started listening. I listen every day on my way to work. I meditate on the teaching before I go in. I really appreciate that I could get a copy of Briefing the Bible for free. I probably wouldn't have been able to spend the money otherwise at this time, but I'm passionate in my pursuit of a deeper relationship with our Lord and Savior. I'm rebuilding my life and clearing up the wreckage of my past. This will definitely strengthen my relationship with God. I'm so grateful for my new life in Christ. I'm not the same broken soul I once was. I'm a leader in a recovery ministry. I sponsor people in recovery. I'm a present father, and I just got certified as a peer recovery specialist. Amazing things are happening since I started living by biblical principles. I used to want to die. I had no hope, and I hated myself. Today, I have peace and strength. This can only be explained by the way God has moved in my life. Your program is a big, big part of my spiritual life and development. God bless you, Steve, Greg, and all the people who make it possible to bring the whole Word to the whole world. Well, thanks, Jason. Thanks for sharing your amazing story, and keep going, man. God bless you as you walk with Him every day. If you'd like to see the photos of many like Jason who ride with us each day on the Bible bus, then you need to visit our family album at ttb.org/Bible Bus. And while you're there, click on the link to send us your note and then tell us how God's using His Word to change and challenge you as well. Don't forget to include your photo also. Now, we've got time for just one more letter. Here's a quick email from Adam in Meadow Vista, California. I'm writing to say thank you for continuing this program. It was early in the morning around 15 years ago that I heard Dr. McGee on the radio during my morning commute. I was starved for God's Word, but didn't know it. Since then, I've been listening and have brought my wife and children along on the Bible bus. In a month or so, we'll be finishing our first 5-year journey as a family. I feel blessed to be a part of this ministry and pray for you often. Thank you so much, and God be with you. Well, thanks, Adam, and it's a joy to have your whole family with you, joining us every day, and congratulations on almost completing that first 5-year trip. Let's pray as we dive into God's Word. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Word that brings us closer to you and provides us with comfort in our most difficult times. As we study, help us to realize your goodness and mercy in new ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Our study today brings us back to this very marvelous 27th Psalm. It's a very familiar Psalm. And last time we got into the first 2 or 3 verses, but I think that today we might just go over this again. This psalm divides itself very naturally into 2 major divisions. We have, first of all, the provision that God makes for the encouragement and confidence of his own. And that's verses 1 down through verse 6. And then through the remainder of this psalm, we have the prayer, which is a prayer for help and sustenance. You see, the one here who has the confidence is going to go to the source in prayer, talk to him about the need. Now, it opens in this very marvelous way. It's probably one of the most spiritual of the Psalms. And when I say that, I recognize that smacks just a little of what I'd like for it not to sound like. And that is that it's sort of for the hoity-toity of believers. And I don't think that at all. But I rather think that this is a psalm that has a message for many hearts and lives today. Now it opens on this grand note. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And you notice again, there is he and me here. The Lord, he's my light. He and me. It's one thing to say, God is light. Now we have in the epistle of 1 John, we have three definitions of God. God is light, God is love, and God is life. And all three are here that the psalmist recognizes. He is my light. He's a holy God. And he is the one that directs and guides me by the light of his word. Because the word, the psalmist will say later, it's a light to us and a lamp to us in the pathway of life. And my salvation speaks of the love of God, because it was the love of God that provided a salvation for us. And that salvation is only, of course, through Jesus Christ. And John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. God didn't so love the world, he saved the world. God so loved the world, he provided a salvation for sinners, and they have to come this way. And that salvation is conditioned, and that's the salvation that David's talking about. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? My light, my salvation. And then the Lord is the strength of my life. And he gives life. He not only gives life, he empowers us to live that life down here. All of that is wrapped up in actually this very first verse here. And of whom shall I be afraid? Now, he goes on, he says, when the wicked, even mine enemies, my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. And David, again, I think here is looking back upon his life at the time that his life was in danger. And David started out as a shepherd boy with his life in danger when he went out, made an attack upon a lion and a bear. And that's something you just don't do every day. I don't know about you, I just don't meet a lion and a bear every day. And when I do, I hope he's on the other side of the cage. But there are a lot of these wild animals that are walking our streets today, and a lot of them would seek to devour you. And then there's that old lion, the devil, like a roaring lion. He's going up and down, seeking whom he may devour. Now, we find here, then, when we come to verse 3, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. That is, his confidence is in God. And this is the provision that God has made for his own today. Have you ever noticed that every time the Lord Jesus would break through to speak to his apostles after his resurrection, it was, fear not, fear not. You and I have a resurrected Savior today, and I think fear comes to us many times. I have to remind myself when I'm flying in a plane, because I don't enjoy it. I have a natural fear of height. I just don't go and look over the side of a building. I'm afraid I'll jump off, and I don't want to do that. And I just have to remind myself when I'm up there and on that bus with those great big wheels that's in the sky. I tell the Lord, I say to him at the time, you were here with me. My confidence is in you. And it helps a great deal. Now, will you notice what he says in verse 4? This is a wonderful verse. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. Now, this is a rich verse. David whittled his life down to one point. One thing have I desired of the Lord. And you remember, Paul did that for his life. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This day of just whittling your life down like whittling a pencil, down where you can write with it. Just keep whittling. And today our lives are so complicated. I find, and did most of my life, I always felt like Martha in the kitchen. You know, she was cumbered with much serving. Poor Martha. She reached for this pot to cook something in, and then she reached for a pan to boil something in, and she reached for something else to peel potatoes, and by that time something fell out of the cupboard, and I tell you, she's frustrated, trying to do everything and everything at once. My, how complicated life has become for many of us today. And we're frustrated, under tension and pressure all the time. Wonderful to get it down. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Have you got your life reduced now to the lowest common denominator today? May I say to you, and I hope you won't mind me speaking out of a personal experience, the happiest time of my ministry began when I retired. And I want to add to that, the most spiritually profitable time began at that moment. I've seen more folk turn to Christ in this brief interval than any other five-year period in my life. I have never rejoiced so. And you know what? I got my life down now where I say, one thing I want to do, and that is radio. That's all I'm doing. I just have got it whittled down to that, and I'm hipped on it. I believe today the Word of God needs to be gotten out, and this is my bag, if you want that. This is the one thing I do. But you notice what it was for David. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Now, David, I don't think, intended to take his sleeping bag and sleep in the tabernacle. And I don't believe today that it means that we should sleep in the church pew. Especially during the service, we ought not to sleep there. But what he's saying is this. It was his trip to the tabernacle. You remember he brought it up to Jerusalem, the ark, and put it in a tent. And David wanted to build a temple for God. Why? Because of the fact through that he had access to God. And that's the important thing for us today. That is the thing that we ought to rejoice in. That's the thing that will enable us to whittle life down to one point. Paul gives to us the benefits of being justified by faith. He says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's one of the things. But he's going to enumerate actually eight things there. And do you know what is number two? Just happens to be access to God. What a wonderful thing it is we have access to God. And Paul mentions that there. Paul says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. And that's what David's talking about. David says, I want to go to the house of God. There's a mercy seat there. He needed mercy. And I need mercy. I'm sure you do. There was an altar there that speaks to the cross of Christ. And David says, I want to go there. I can approach God. And through the Lord Jesus today, we have access into this marvelous grace. And it's a privilege to have access to God. This is a wonderful psalm. No wonder it's been such a wonderful blessing to God's people, especially as verse 5 says, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Where's the secret place of the tabernacle? It was inside that holy place. No one got in there but the high priest. You know what was in there? The ark. And above it was just a top for the box. But it's a mercy seat. Mercy seat because blood was poured there. And he hides us in the mercy seat. We have today a mercy seat to go to. That's where he hides us. What a wonderful place to go today. And now he says in verse 6, now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Oh, what a glorious, wonderful thing when we get this picture and recognize what he's done for us. It puts a song in our hearts. Then we have, beginning with verse 7, his prayer. Oh, this leads him to pray. And he says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, answer me. You see, in that secret place, there was mercy. And there is that secret place for us to come and receive the mercy of God. Now he says, when thou saidest, seek ye my face. David puts the invitation in the Lord's mouth. He says here, seek ye my face. And David says, I've already responded. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. God today has a longing for you. Do you respond to that? It's awful to live with a person and you don't express your love, and there isn't that communication of love. That's what marriage is. Marriage is not an arrangement whereby a woman gets a living and a man gets a cook. That may be in the deal, generally is, but that's not marriage. Marriage is when it's a love relationship. And if it's not that, it's not anything at all. And actually, our relationship to God should be like that. David says, my heart just responded. When God says, I love you, David says, I love you. When God says, I want to have fellowship with you, David says, I want to have fellowship with you. And then he says, hide not thy face far from me. David knew what it was for God to hide his face. When he sinned, he lost his fellowship, lost his joy. That's what he prayed for. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And then this next verse has been misunderstood. Verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And the critic has come along. Even Delitzsch took the position that probably, he didn't say it, you know, out loud. He just suggested that this could have been written by someone else. Because the explanation that's been given, well, David's father and mother never forsook him. But I don't think that's what David is saying here. I think that it could better be translated, and you'll notice it's a temporal clause anyway, when my father and my mother forsake me. Well, when do they? Well, they never did for David, and I think it'd be better to translate, had my father and my mother forsaken me? Had they done it? And that's in a translation that I have here, and I like that much better. I wish the Scofield revisers who made the New Scofield Bible had called attention to that, because that'd make it so much different. Had my father and my mother forsaken me? Well, they didn't forsake me. But should they? The Lord will take me up. And some wiseacre a few years ago put it like this, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Boy Scouts will take me up. And I'm afraid today that a great many parents are letting organizations, including the church, raise their children. I don't care whether you are a member of a good Bible church. The children are yours. You are the one that should lead them to the Lord, and not that Sunday school teacher or that preacher either. You are the one. And you are the one that should give them your time and give them your attention. That's what he's saying, I think, here. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemy. David says, I want my testimony before the enemy because I know he'll criticize. I want you to watch over me, Lord, and help me not to stump my toe. Deliver me not over into the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Now, I was brought up in a denomination that has since gone into liberalism. And I was in a denomination that's gone into liberalism. I always prayed to the Lord, Lord, do not let me fall into the position where I'm at the mercy of church leaders or even a church board. And in my entire ministry, which began about 1930 and ended about 1970, I guess, and that's a long time, friends, about 40 years, during that entire time, God never let me get in a position where I was at the mercy of man. And that's what David is praying. And my heart goes out to many ministers today that find themselves at the mercy, maybe of a church board or a hierarchy. And I know several like that. My heart goes out to them today. And I urge them to pray like David did. Don't deliver me into the will of my enemies. Don't let them get me down and pin my shoulders to the mat, Lord. And I think that he'll hear and answer that prayer. And David said, I'd fainted unless I'd believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And even in this world today, you can see the goodness of the Lord, how wonderful it is. Now he says, what are we to do? Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now there's a lot of heart trouble today among believers. It's known as faint-hearted, or the coward's heart, as it's known. All of us, I guess, have a little touch of it. And what are we to do? Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And what will he do? He's going to strengthen our heart. He's really the great heart specialist today. Now in Psalm 28, I'm just going to take a minute for this very wonderful psalm here. It contains a cry, and the man's in trouble here, and it's a prayer for judgment upon the enemies and of a deliverance that's coming. And it's a tremendous picture that we have in this psalm. It's preliminary, really, to the next one. But I'm just hitting the high points. Verse 1, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me. And a rock is what in Moses' great song, when they cross the Red Sea, he speaks of the rock, God being our rock. A rock is something to stand on. It's a foundation. We have a foundation. No other foundation can any man lay than that which is Christ Jesus. Now he says, verse 2, hear the voice of my supplication. When I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. Well, somebody's going to say that's the tabernacle. I agree with that and the mercy seat that's in it. It's the mercy seat that you and I need to cling to today. Now I drop down to verse 6. And he says, blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplication. God hears and answers prayer. And as a result, David now says in verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiced, and my song will I praise him. Now, there are several things important. God is power. He's mighty. And God is a shield for protection, power and protection. But is he my power? Is he my protection? Then if he is, in the only way can be my heart trusted in him, and I'm helped. He'll hear and answer prayer. And then what happens? And with my song will I praise him. We'll be able to praise him. And then he concludes by saying in verse 9, save thy people and bless thine inheritance, feed them also and lift them up forever. Oh, how glorious and wonderful this psalm is here. Why, you just take off in this psalm, you can see. We come next time to a great psalm of nature. Great many people are interested in ecology. Well, we have an ecological psalm for next time. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
God hears and answers our prayers. If you know someone that needs to hear this message, invite them to listen to ttb.org/Psalms or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE if you'd like to find out about the many ways that we make available our 5-year study through the whole Word of God. Ecology is certainly a hot button topic in politics, but There's no better place to learn about it than from the one who created it all. Let me give you a sneak peek at what we'll be studying tomorrow. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth. You want to hear more? Well, join me tonight in reading through Psalms 29 and 30 in preparation for our study, and then meet me back here as we continue this great journey through God's entire Word. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be sure to save you a seat on the Bible bus.
Unto Him I owe, sin hath left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.